Jazzy.
Hello and welcome to the Felt Delete Mic Cute podcast. Today's more of a general discussion, a range of topics.
We've got a few ideas in plan, but we'll also be going on to a few Instagram comments and lightly taking the piss out of what people have said.
Let's start with Trippy Red's new album, exclamation mark.
Literally just a piece of punctuation.
Copying the late great XXX Tentacion.
As a discussion point, it's really not a great...
Can I also just say, like the late great XXX, he's just a shit. So let's just preface it with that. The album was not fun.
And he doesn't even have like his own death to like
exactly,
shroud himself in glory.
And at least, I was going to say actually, at least... X had a great collaboration, Infinity 888. But then so does Trippy with the Playboy Carti song.
And Dark Knight Gomer.
Yeah, exactly. And Forever Ever. But
the issue is that like XXXTentacion, he did himself a favour by dying.
No, okay. But the issue I take is that Trippy removed the only good song on the album from the album because he's insecure about his penis size.
To explain, on Twitter, people were basically just taking the piss out of him, saying that the only good verse on the entire album was Playboy Carti's verse.
Even though you can't understand what he's saying.
But it was which still is true. The best
exactly
on the album.
But.
And Trippy basically got so insecure about this fact that he just removed the song featuring Playboy Carti from the album itself. I mean, when you talk
big
about
yikes.
Having zero testosterone,
isn't it?
Jesus.
I've heard a good cure for that is suicide, but I don't know.
Just take the XXXTentacion path. It would actually.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, it would.
Moving on from that terrible album.
Not
very quickly. Me and Kieran saw the new Quentin Tarantino film this week.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It was actually amazing. Like, Where do we begin? I feel like I need a second watch.
I feel like that is where we should begin. It is so un-Quentin Tarantino-y for so long off the film.
That's quite true.
Just
so like
blown away by how different it is.
Also, I feel like we should preface spoiler-free. Because I do want people to watch this.
Yeah, spoiler-free, because so, 100% go and see it.
Isn't it? It's so accessible. Is it? It's the least accessible Tarantino film.
It's so accessible, yeah, it's the least accessible one, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're expecting the violence, hold out.
There are other
more like glamorous things about it aside from the violence.
It's far more mature film, like
100%.
It's so much slower paced. I will warn you, it's long, but it doesn't feel long because like you do enjoy it. Cinematography is obviously amazing.
Also,
music,
like characterization wise, hit one of his best ones.
Yeah, like Brad Pitt's best performance. I haven't seen some of his stuff like Burn After Reading and stuff like that, but like it's for one of his best performances.
They are both just like,
and the chemistry between
them. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Exactly.
Plot wise, if anyone is interested, basically Rick Dalton, played by Leonardo DiCaprio, completely made up character.
Is he really?
Yeah.
No.
So that's, you know, Samantha, what's her name, who lived in that door next to him in the film.
Sharon Tate.
Oh, that's it. Sharon Tate. Samantha Tate. No, so Sharon Tate, she is an actual person, and that happened to her family. So that event happened to her family. Basically, what I take from it is that Quentin Tarantino didn't want to have this, like, a horribly violent scene happening to her.
He was quite...
To her family.
It was quite
because it would be very insensitive if he actually acted out the death of all of her
family.
No,
you're spoiling it.
I mean, I'm not really spoiling it.
You're spoiling it.
I wouldn't say so.
That's a big spoiler.
Not really, because people know the story. I feel like it's just you
that
doesn't
know
the story.
No, people... I knew... I was the one that told you. But people know... People don't know that it doesn't happen. Do you see
what
the point?
What do you mean?
Like, half the point of the film is you're like... Because I went into the film knowing that Charles Manson kills a pregnant woman.
Okay.
But...
Well, let's move aside from that.
Okay.
Anyway... It's a completely made-up character, hence why all the violence is acceptable, and hence why you can add the Quentin Tarantino violence to the film. And it's just beautiful, to be honest.
It is really good. agree with it. Yeah, I love the fact that there wasn't much of a plot to it. It just
it's just like weaving in and out, random little stories.
It was great.
The Charles Manson thing gets brought in loosely, but it's not like the driving force of the film by any stretch.
It kind of reminds me of Pulp Fiction. And the fact that it's just like
also just like funny like Pulp Fiction as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like it's so hilarious. Lighthearted. It felt so lighthearted. Well. Also, special creds to fucking Leonardo DiCaprio's crying ability.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Turns on that cry so well.
Isn't it?
Can you so sing? Good at it. Can I cry on cue? Can I cry? Yes. Can I cry on cue? No.
Okay. Never to be honest. But
I'm capable of crying.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've cried all my tears out. yeah, out of 10?
I don't know. Needs that extra.
I'm saying strong like. Egg. Yeah, strong 8. We're doing needle drop, yeah? Okay, yeah, I'd say strong 8.
There isn't really much else to say apart from just recommend it.
I was going to say, caveat. You know the scene where he smokes the acid dipped cigarette?
Yeah.
I feel like I heard someone say that that's like a defense of psychedelics. There's obviously the Manson cult and a lot of the other fucked up hippies at the time were just on psychedelics all the time.
Yeah.
Like, shows that, you know, they're not
normal
bad.
People do psychedelics and have fun doing it.
I couldn't agree more. Oh my God. Jesus.
Can't relate.
But, yeah. So, I definitely recommend it. Where would you say it fits in like... the ranking of Tarantino.
I can't rank it against his other films, but what I will say is that if he has 10 films planned and this is his 9th, this feels like his last one so much.
True,
feels like such a nice closer to his entire filmography.
Can I rank his films?
Go for it.
Sigh of disapproval. I'd say Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
And it's basic, but then I'd say Django.
Django has to be top.
No. Kill Bill.
Yeah.
The first one.
Yeah.
Inglourious Bastards. Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
This, Once Upon a Time.
Oh, really?
Hateful Eight. Kill Bill 2. I haven't seen Jackie Brown or Death Proof. So.
Nice.
Yeah. Decent. Imagine this being like your 6th best film.
Like, what the fuck? Well, it's actually ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, it has potential to definitely go up on his
100%,
list. Like, more lessons.
Because it's so much more layered than a lot of the other stuff.
Word. And a lot of Tarantino's films benefit from those rose tinted glasses, I must say.
Agreed.
So,
agreed.
We'll see what happens.
Word.
Moving on to music. What a fucking week it has been. Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a few albums coming up that, like, both me and Kieran are very fucking excited for.
Brockhampton!
Well, we're starting a list there.
Yeah, what? Starting a list?
Starting a list. Brockhampton.
Yeah, okay, right, yeah.
Rhapsody.
Yeah.
JPEG Mafia.
Oh, my God.
Clipping. Azar Rashad.
When's Clipping coming?
October. Clipping is in October, yeah.
Yeah, but this is not...
What do you mean?
Near enough.
Yeah.
To be on the top. When's JPEG coming?
I'd say September.
What if he releases on my birthday?
What if he releases it on my birthday?
Fuck off. He cares about me more. I care about him more.
Is your birthday a Friday?
Fuck. Is yours?
No, Sunday. Basically, JPEG Mafia released this song this week. Fuck.
Jesus, forgive me, I am a thought. That's me quoting the title, not me speaking. Yeah, why is this one of the best songs ever made?
I mean, I would say 100% of you will listen to this song, if you listen to this song, and not think it's one of the best songs ever made. But I can tell you now you're wrong. It is literally the most beautiful piece of music ever made.
Yeah, also so grimy.
How something can be so hard-hitting, but then also make you cry at the same time.
Do you know why that is? Because you got the contrast of the fucking cold as fuck piano.
Isn't it? Jesus.
And the amazing singing. Like, how does this man sing and scream simultaneously? Like, I don't understand.
I mean, if you... there's a video on YouTube of Kenny Beats basically reacting to the song. In it, he looked like he was about to cry.
Yeah, I thought he was.
Did you think, like,
fucking injury reserve crying. Did cry?
And yeah, for Richie with a T from injury reserve cried listening to this song, in the sense that, like, you listen to it and just, like, if you have any appreciation of, like, fucking alternative hip hop in any sense, you just listen to it. And
I know the majority of you don't, but you're wrong.
Yeah, you just listen to it and you're just like, it's sad because it's a sad song, but it's also sad because it's so good.
It's not even sad.
It's no sad, like, the instrumental is kind of sad.
Oh, the instrumental is sad, yeah.
And it's also sad just because of how good it is. It's just,
yeah, like, exactly. Like,
you listen to it, you're like, oh my god. It's also, it's a lot of JPEG Mafia's songs, like, suffer because they need, like, the million listens to appreciate it. This one, first listen.
Isn't it?
Like,
exactly.
Oh my god.
I don't think I've ever
happening?
Re-listened to a song more in my life. I literally had it on repeat for about 7 times throughout the day, listened to it at least 25, 30 times. It was immense. It is immense.
Yeah. So his album is...
I think you said, if you don't listen to it like every 6 hours, you get withdrawals.
Yeah.
It's just so true.
Yeah, it was getting to the point where, like, I mean, the majority of music I listen to is, like, journeys places, so it'll be, like, just walking somewhere or walking back, and it's, like, you just get into little ruts where you just have the same songs playing on those little journeys, and, jeez, forgive me, it was always at the top of my fucking list. It was every 3 hours I had to listen to it, otherwise I felt depressed, like, or I felt like I had forgotten the song and I didn't want to forget it,
right.
So I had to keep reminding myself of the song.
Oh,
how good it was.
Another great song is Boy Bye.
Yeah, the new Brockhampton single.
Best of the three singles, I think.
The
other two are great. They've grown on me.
Yeah.
But I'd say the best.
Brockhampton definitely coming back with, like, some more catchy stuff, some more cheerful stuff.
It's understandable enough as well.
Yeah, 100%.
I think, from, like, what
it's not like just going back to Saturation.
Exactly.
There's still elements of all of it. But Iridescence was, like, tonally sad because of the whole Amir Van shit. Like, it just felt like a sadder album.
Big pedos,
yeah. Also, it was made in London. London is generally a bit more of a grimy setting to make an album.
Had a grimier sound?
Just, like, a bit more like...
I think if that grimier sound was more refined, it would have been better.
100%.
But speaking of Saturation, I recently re-listened to it.
Same.
Did you actually?
All of the albums in one day.
Oh, no, I didn't do that. I just did Saturation 1. But it has risen to be my 21st favourite album.
Damn.
Behind Things Fall Apart, above Rodeo. And probably my favourite Brockhampton song. Song?
Album. 100% my favourite Brockhampton album. It's the one that just, it's just, like, the most quintessential Brockhampton album.
I remember the first time I listened to it, I was in America.
Yeah.
Florida. And it was just the perfect album for that setting.
Well, we both came onto the album, I'd say, like, 3 weeks before Saturation 2 came out.
No. Saturation 2 came out whilst I was in Florida.
Okay, well,
I was listening to Saturation
1. And I, like, fully appreciated the album. I was just like, Jesus Christ, this is amazing. And then I follow some of them on Twitter, and I just see they're releasing another album literally a week later. I'm like,
it's kind of mad, isn't it?
And then you realise it's a trilogy. Like, 2017 really was the golden era. God.
2019 is stopping it, though.
Yeah, but...
100%.
Just, like, that is the most fun music that has ever been made. Just so, such a joyful time.
It's going to be kind of mad when we look back on hip-hop artists, and Brockhampton's going to be up there with, like, Outkast and Kanye.
Yeah, 100%.
And Roots have, like, some of the best discographies.
Their contract with RCA is a 3-year contract, and they've agreed to release 6 albums in 3 years. Because they based the contract off what they were doing when they made Saturation.
Right.
They're like, if you can make 3 albums in 6 months, then you can make 6 albums in 3 years, yeah.
Nice.
So it's just about, like, churning them out. It doesn't feel like they're churning them out either.
With the big label, like, settings,
yeah.
I want them to do some more collaborations. Like, I know they're a tight package and they work fine on their own.
Mm.
We've had 4 albums of them on their own. It would be cool to get
a few
some
features,
like,
on,
yeah, exactly, like, maybe a Jaden here, a Serpent there, a Tyler over here.
And it was just
a Frank over here.
Also want them to go for something a bit bigger as well.
Yeah, and, like, you have a group, you have a leader who's interested in directing and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't you just do a concept album?
100%.
Like, it would be so different. Like, and
I love their like playful fun shit, but at the same time, I want something like fucking orchestras all over it, Kanye influence shit, just like something huge.
Yeah. Something classic. It doesn't have to be huge. I just want like a story to follow,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
rather than just rapping. Like, I like rapping.
Yeah.
But
from these three new singles, who's the most impressive?
Each song is different.
Yeah, but you know how you always have. Like, Sat 1 was fucking Amir. Sat 2, Matt.
Was...
I'd say Matt.
No. Sat 2 was... Sat 2 was Dom, I think.
No, but Iridescence for me was fucking Dom.
No, Iridescence was Joba.
No. Anyway, I have my favourite... My favourite individuals from each album.
Sat 3?
Hmm?
Sat 3?
Oh, Matt. Then Sat 3 is probably Matt, yeah.
And then Iridescence, maybe Kevin.
Yeah, true. But although Merlin's been good on... And then the three singles that they released ages ago but never went on anything. Fucking hell, Merlin was so good on those songs.
True. And then this one, though.
These three. Dom is just...
Yeah.
That opening verse on Boy Bye.
Yeah.
Jeez, oh.
Big boy Dom.
Oh, little fat boy. To be respected.
Like, I like how we went into this thinking we weren't going to talk about music that much.
I know. Alright, fuck it. Let's move on.
Just consumers.
We've made a few notes here. Do we want to talk about the Bernie Sanders?
Can we not reveal how unprepared we are?
No, I feel like it's all about letting people in on the creative process, you know what I mean?
This is an intentional stylistic choice.
Yeah.
But sure, if you want to talk about Bernie and Andrew.
Okay, we both have like very little knowledge.
Agreed.
On the Democratic race.
Yeah. We've just known about Bernie and Andrew because of like their appearances on like the internet and whatever. Yeah.
I will say that like I've always liked some of Bernie's ideas, but I always thought he was a bit too far for me. And I had thought that for quite a long time. I was like, he has some nice ideas, but I just don't think he is necessarily where I stand.
Mm-hmm.
And then listening to that Joe Rogan podcast, how like transparent and sort of like authentic he actually managed to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Seeing like a lot of the comments, people just genuinely being swayed almost by him.
Yeah.
Like saying things that actually resonated
with. He's a lot more convincing when you actually hear him talk about it, because
when they actually get a long form format.
But so exactly, we'll get on to that.
But
the thing about socialism is like, how is it going to be implemented?
It needs the explanation. That's the big,
but then he came at it with the explanation, like attacks on stock trading.
Lobbying.
It just makes sense. I mean, when it comes to lobbying, I disagree with him on that.
Okay, at least he was able to, like, you know what I mean?
Yes, you know what, like...
But it's so true, like, when I hear, like, of any socialist agenda, I'm like, okay,
right.
I may be a little bit left-leaning, but that is too far for me.
Yeah.
But then as soon as he's able to explain it a bit more and stop being called a crazy socialist and stuff, or me stop calling him a crazy socialist.
No, people do. Like,
It makes more sense.
And the thing is, the proposers aren't even that far fetched because they're just like European shit.
That's what he was like pushing so many times. He was like,
"It's just normal.
I'm not a crazy man. Like, what I'm saying makes sense to people."
Yeah.
And a lot of his things, like, I don't like saying the phrase "it's not a partisan matter" or whatever, but a lot of the things he was saying genuinely weren't. They were just like very basic.
However, comma.
Yeah.
Some things I didn't like about him. When it came to the mass shootings, see, the issue is no one has a fucking answer to this. Because
he did.
Huh?
He did.
No.
He admitted he didn't have an answer.
Oh, admitted he didn't?
Yeah.
No, because he's still I don't know.
He's coming at the assault rifle thing. He wasn't a crazy all guns should be banned sort of guy.
But then no, because I think that is a crazy all guns should be banned kind of thing. Because all right, so when it comes to the American Constitution, the reason we have weapons is to protect the citizenry from government tyranny.
Yeah.
Because the whole idea of America is it was formed out of the tyranny of Britain.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for hunting. It's not for anything like that. It's to protect the citizens from government tyranny.
Yeah.
And so because of that, like, it was said that military level equipment. Now, I'm not saying that people should have access to that. Obviously, yeah. they shouldn't. For example, in America, you can't have a fully automatic weapon. So a gun that you hold down the trigger and it shoots repeatedly.
Mm.
It's all semi-automatic. Now, the definition of an assault rifle is a selective fire weapon. So this might be too technical, but a gun that fires repeatedly when you fire the trigger,
yeah.
but can also fire semi-automatically. So no one in America, no civilian, has access to assault weapons.
Yeah.
Yet all you hear is, ban assault weapons, ban assault weapons. What do you mean? Because Bernie was talking about, it was like, he started talking about hunting. It's like, no, what?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
the idea isn't for hunting. Like, when it comes to guns, you either ban guns, you don't ban guns.
I feel like, yeah, okay, I feel like, to be honest, yes, it is in the Constitution as a whole tyranny thing, mm-hmm. but even a lot of Americans don't believe in, a lot of Americans don't believe it in the sense that they all want guns, but not for that reason, you know what I mean?
That
like,
yeah,
in his
that.
State, they yeah. have, they don't have a huge culture of protecting themselves against government tyranny. They have a huge culture of hunting.
It's not like you
they
have...
They get annoyed about their guns getting taken away like, because of hunting, not like because of the government tyranny shit.
But it's not like you have a Hitler every 20, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah, but...
Like, a
Hitler, if you ask like, the yeah. average American, oh, why do you like your gun? Why do you have guns?
Because I like to shoot it. Because I use like it to shooting hunt. It.
I like using
I like
it.
The idea of self-defense, because yeah. they look cool. However, the core principle is... Okay. Let's say you get a Hitler
yeah.
in 200... Like, it's not saying it's going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah.
But that's just the main reason. Now, there are other reasons.
Mm.
For example, self-defense, hunting, etc., etc. And I personally agree with those as well. But
then the issue just becomes when... If it's there to use against government tyranny,
mm-hmm.
we don't have government tyranny at the moment. What we have is an incredibly polarized state. Where people are armed to use their weapons against each other and not against the government.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. But if you take away the citizens' ability to defend themselves from the government, it's a lot easier for the government to violate the citizenry. For example, across Europe, you have an epidemic of governments censoring their citizens. Like America, a lot of people don't know this. America is the only country where you legally have freedom of speech.
Gun's going to fix that.
Huh?
I don't think a gun's going to fix that.
Well, why do you think they have the freedom of speech? If they didn't have guns, it would be a lot easier to curtail their freedom of speech. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess, like, I don't know.
It's just an...
It's a fucked situation.
Unanswerable question.
I think one of the bigger problems that people don't talk
is
about...
Is the polarisation itself. Surely. Because the guns are what are being used to, like, to... enact these like beliefs, so it might happen one way, it might happen another. I'm not going to start like pointing fingers at Trump like, oh, you fucking,
because it's not like it's a new problem,
you
it?
Enable these people. It's like, okay, sure, these people might draw influences yeah, from yeah, him yeah. and that is pretty fucked in itself.
It's been around since the 90s. And then another thing, I don't think
but the actual issue that is there, I mean, this is an unanswerable issue as well.
Yeah.
The polarization itself.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that? There is literally no way. Complete destruction of the media.
Yeah, it's literally. The media. It is the media. Can we get on to that in a second?
Yeah.
But another media related thing, because like the whole media thing that we want to talk about is a big thing.
I feel like it could literally be a whole episode.
Isn't it? But we'll do it today. Fuck it.
Yeah.
But I feel like a big thing with the whole mass shootings is. I don't think it is a belief thing, because out of the dozens and dozens we've had, only a handful have been belief motivated. So you had there's a white guy that shot up a black church, a couple Black Lives Matter supporters shot at police officers.
They're always the biggest ones.
You had, no. Like, for example, the biggest ones was the concert shooting.
Yeah.
Pulse was Islamic terrorism, but like, the majority I'm saying aren't belief motivated. Yeah. I think the motivation is recognition. Most of them are like outcast incels that are just trying
and
to do.
We will draw this all back to Americans thinking that they are the center of their own world. 100%. 100%. In America, we don't have it here, and we don't have it in this country to even the slightest degree. But reality television has created this, like, this sphere where all Americans think that they are the center of everyone else's perception.
And they think that they should. I get what you mean. They're entitled.
They are entitled to, like, recognition. They're entitled to appreciation.
And so when females don't give it to them, they then try and do it.
Yeah,
like,
that's the other thing. All of these people are
males.
Men.
Yeah.
Because.
I mean, men are also
men are the most aggressive. Like, also, the most like solitudinal people.
Yeah.
Like forced, like when it comes to depression rates and shit.
Hence
like
why,
that.
Yeah, suicide rate is 5 times out of females. Homelessness rate is also 5 times out of females.
And the reason you get ones that are driven by belief is because they use that as an excuse for themselves.
It's like an escape, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like
if you're like that's why radicals prey on young disenfranchised men.
Yeah.
For example, in France, there was a big problem of like Islamic terrorism, and a lot of French Muslim migrants were like disenfranchised, where they're in shit social housing. It wasn't much for them to do. Youth unemployment is very high in France, so if someone comes at you with like an attractive alternative, like dying for caliphate,
and that is like
same thing with like 4chan with white men.
Yeah, 100%.
Like.
It's and the same, and for a lot of people, well, these latest ones at least, Trump is clearly giving that to them.
Mm.
He's giving them the attention and the focus that they need.
I think someone else said that, I don't know who it was, but not all Trump fans are racist.
100%.
But all racists are Trump fans.
Mm.
So I think it's by virtue of them being racist white men.
But
they like Trump,
when you tailor your political campaign,
appealing to the populism
I don't know why you don't get it as much with the left. I cannot explain that.
Mm.
Statistics seem to show that it should be happening with the left as well. Left leaning people should be gunning down hundreds of people.
I mean, you had the couple of Black Lives Matter shootings.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And apparently one of the recent ones, I can't remember if it was Dallas or another one, but apparently one of them was like a rampant...
Mm. Because you've got the Democrats appealing to one side and Republicans appealing to another
side, and there
seems to be no overlap.
And you have Antifa as well.
Yeah.
But I guess they're not shooting.
Yeah, exactly. But there should be, like... I don't know why more black men aren't looking at the political situation and doing the same as all of these white men are doing.
Yeah, man, I think it's a very much more cultural thing.
Yeah.
I mean, instead, you can argue black men are just killing each other in far higher rates. But it's like...
Political...
I think it's not political at all.
Yeah, exactly.
I think not the so issue is these mass shootings aren't so much mass homicides, but public suicides.
Yeah, it's public demonstrations.
These people fucking hate the idea of living, and so seek to
destroy as many,
so fucking evil. Whereas, like, you know, like if you're a disenfranchised black man, and you're trying to make some money, that's completely different.
Mm.
Like, I mean, it kills far more people, but at least those people, I was gonna say, at least those people are in the game as well. Not all of them are, but it's still suffering, but it's a different issue.
It's just like people are so determined to find the one factor that is the reason for
it's
all.
So it's complicated.
Like, there are millions of different reasons.
This is not going to be solved in an election campaign, but a generation.
It would be like saying, oh yeah, domestic violence. It has one solution.
Yeah.
There is one reason why someone would beat someone up. Yeah. But it's like, no, there are thousands of different reasons.
It's a fuck thing. And can we get on to the black man thing? Because, you know, we were talking about gun control and that.
Yeah.
This is what I don't get. Handguns, pistols kill more people than any other kind of gun, because like when it comes to gang violence, that's the overwhelming majority of murders in the US are because of gang violence, and gangs primarily use handguns because it's most easily concealable.
Yeah,
so if you're talking about reducing
they haven't
gun deaths,
they haven't got, ARs down the fence.
Yeah, exactly. If we're talking about reducing, I mean, they're blacks. So you could just say it's your bit.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
If you're talking about reducing gun deaths, then the easiest way to do that would be ban handguns. But no one wants to do that because everyone sees that, like, that just goes against,
I mean, you know? Everyone's, like, warped perception of guns is the smaller, the less dangerous.
Exactly, but that's not how it works, yeah. Exactly. A bullet is a fucking bullet.
Which maybe reflects the fact penises, that men's intrinsic, the smaller the penis, the less dangerous.
Yeah. Oh, whoa, if, yeah,
if it all
right.
If it all comes back to...
yeah.
If it all comes back to psychological and biological actions of a man, then, I mean...
Fair enough. But,
the man with the bigger penis is more of a threat to you and your family.
Another thing with America... shut up. Another thing with America, like... It does sound very, very bad, what's happening. I feel like mass shootings are, but then when it comes to general gun violence, I think the murder rate for America... is 5.2 per 100,000, so 5.2 killings per year per 100,000 people. In the UK, it's one.
Yeah.
Most other, you know, European countries, it's one. But then when it comes to, like, the Philippines, it's like 10. South Africa will be like 30. Brazil will be like 30. Mexico will be like 60. Venezuela, do you know what I mean? Like, in terms of other countries, pretty sure, yeah, Jamaica's, like, at least 60. Like, in terms of other countries, America's pretty safe. Like, the...
I think what it is with America is that, at the margins, it is a terrible, terrible place.
The violence is concentrated and sporadic.
Like, it is... At the margins of society, America can be the worst place to live in the world.
Word.
Like, it's got, like, some of the highest rates of poverty at the margins, some of the worst areas for gun violence at the margins.
So, like, you have...
Your everyday life for the average person is amazing. Fucking bliss. But, it's amazing.
So you might have, like, let's say, this is just a guess, but let's say 5% poverty rate.
Yeah.
So that's great. But then for those 5%, you want, like, it's hell.
Yeah. For those 5%, the poverty in America is worse than the poverty in many European countries.
For example, the as I said, the homicide rate is 5.2 per 100,000.
Yeah.
But in St. Lucia, East St. Lucia, it's 60 per 100,000.
Yeah.
In South Side of Chicago, it's like 40. In Baltimore, it's like 40. So obviously, this is like American levels of violence.
Like, for example, like here. Terrible extreme poverty is bad, but usually it just means living on benefits. Every day, your day to day is difficult, but you struggle through.
I think that's the same in America.
Extreme poverty in America means not having any fucking water.
I think it's different because you have poverty and you have homelessness. So homelessness, is what you're talking about. Like,
not
it's,
really. Bearing in mind, in Flint, like, there's fucking people that have perfectly functioning houses but no water.
But that's a different issue. That's because of the water crisis. That's because of, like, the oil industry. It's a completely different topic.
City doesn't have water, they should all be classed as in poverty, and therefore there should be emergency funding that goes towards them. But there hasn't.
I mean, I would agree, but I don't think it's a poverty issue, more so fucking retarded regulations.
But that's what I mean. At the extremes, it's not dealt with. At the margins, it is worse than anywhere else.
In terms of margins, I think poverty in the West is different to poverty in the rest of the world.
Yeah.
So poverty in the rest of the world would be similar to homelessness here, where you don't have regular access to clean running water or toilet or shelter, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, general poverty here is not as bad because...
But poverty here looks worse almost because of the... inequality between those people that are suffering that poverty and the average state, standard of living.
And
in Africa, you don't get, obviously you do it at the extremes, but because everyone's just fucking poor, it's
big up.
It doesn't look as bad. Feel as bad.
Like the wealth inequality in America is very bad. It's very bad. And it's like, again, I'm not as concerned with wealth inequality because I think that's just a natural state of human existence, of natural existence. I know you don't like him, but Jordan Peterson talks about him, talks about it quite a lot in his book, that, you know, like, oh no, it's too much to get into.
Don't even fucking get much with Jordan Peterson.
Shut up. Shut up, you cunt. But I think the issue, as we said, is more so poverty. I don't care if Bill Gates has more money than me, but I care if I can't feed my children.
100%.
See what I mean? Yeah. So let's fix... what are you even talking about?
I don't know.
Look, but like, let's fix the problem.
Just a nice little example of how you have a conversation without killing each other when you have different political beliefs. Because I feel like a lot of Americans fucking struggle with that at times.
And do you know why that is?
Why?
Should we get onto it? The media.
Oh, the media.
So I think the problem with polarization in America... You go for it.
Okay. The problem with polarization in America... Let's bring this back to some of the reality TV shit I was talking about. Drama is just off the essence. Drama and complete shutting down of political discourse is off the essence. If you are going to be right politically, then being right politically means completely destroying what the person who you perceive as being wrong has to say.
Yeah.
It's your opinion being at the centre of your world, if that makes sense.
I guess because of the way that TV and the media works, in the sense that you have a very limited amount of time and it's based off clicks and views,
yeah.
Then the name of the game is saying what you need to say to beat your opponent in as short a time as possible. So all that happens is you get sound bites and arguments. You don't get long form, deep discussion.
Hence why, if you watch the Democratic race, the debate, they get fucking like, was it 30 seconds?
Yeah, it's pure cancer.
30 seconds to put across an idea about each political issue.
So like, imagine talking about fucking mass shootings, how we're going to stop it in 30 seconds.
Imagine caring so little actually about mass shootings that you would give someone 30 seconds to talk about it.
That's actually quite true.
It
just doesn't work. We're in the 21st century. Why can we not just fucking have these debates on YouTube over, like, 2 hours or something? Right. No one fucking watches them anyway. Like, the people, the people that are going to watch them...
will watch it for 4 hours.
Exactly.
The people who actually care.
If I will watch Alex Jones for 5 hours, I can watch 12 people for, two. Do you know what I mean?
I'm going to tie this in. Like, last week I went on this, like, writing course thing. And they're basically teaching you about how to get your article to like the top of a Google search. And it's called like search engine optimization. And by doing that, there's loads of different things that take into consideration. But one of them is using negative superlatives, so using really negative words. What is wrong with people? Can I just say, if you're listening to this and you've ever searched something on Google and you see words like destroy or worse or bad, title an article and you think, fuck yeah, I'm going to click on that because it has fucking bad words.
You are part of the problem.
You are the issue. You are creating the very issue.
The demand. And like, this is why it pains me, because whenever we have, I mean, it goes both ways, but I feel like it's more so on the right kind of thing.
Mm.
Whereas like, I tell you it's both ways. But you know, like when it comes to Brexit, when it comes to Trump, when it comes to like stuff like that, it's like he's literally Hitler. You know, if we leave the European Union, it's going to be World War III. We're going to be a third world country. It's like, this is all they're doing. They're trying to get your fucking attention so that you click, so that they get the ad revenue. No, they don't actually care about the truth.
I will then give you some examples from the left when I go on fucking YouTube, and for some reason I have random fucking Jordan Peterson shit in my recommenders.
It's like, it's
Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson destroys fucking and this is, lesbian woman or something.
I'd like to say
Jordan Peterson violently beats up
Ben Shapiro destroys the left wing with facts and logic.
It's like, shut up.
I don't think this is the people involved. It's just the retards.
Exactly, it's the retards that fucking spread this shit.
Exactly.
I mean, there are right-leaning people that I can have perfectly decent conversations with.
Oh my god, me.
But the fucking cesspool of inbreds that are on YouTube, they spread this shit. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And it's like, blows my mind. You know Paul Joseph Watson?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very much like that. He's
just a shit poster. He's an actual shit poster.
I feel like he acknowledges that, but it's just not good. Yeah,
it's just so cancerous.
Because as you said, the media organisations, they acknowledge what they're doing. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, they know exactly what they're doing. They're literally teaching it to everyone that writes for them. It's terrible.
I don't think I said, you know, the mass shooting thing.
Yeah.
One of the biggest problems is that it's turned into real life Call of Duty, but they're trying to one up each other's scores.
100%.
And do you know why that is? Because the media puts their fucking name and face on these articles.
100%.
So now, like, they're just giving them the exposure they want. And the reason the media does this is because they know that tragedy gets views.
Mm.
Like, they pretend when they get fucking crying kids on, calling for gun control and calling for whatever.
Yeah.
They're not doing it because they care. They're doing it because, you know, also, they know you want to see this.
You're appealing to the wrong people. Like, if the state is so desperate that you need to appeal to potential shooters and try and get them not to shoot, showing fucking crying children on TV isn't going to do anything.
That just
enables them even more, because they're winning in their own little worlds where they want to get as much attention as possible. Crying children means they're winning.
And you don't de-radicalise fucked up people by calling them evil.
Yeah.
You do it by addressing the, like, societal problems that push them to that point. And that's not to, like, humanize them or whatever, but at the end of the day, we are all humans.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think anyone sells drugs because they really want to. They sell drugs because they're in a shit situation.
Yeah. And like, there's terrible humans for sure, but they're terrible for a reason.
And they're enabled and multiplied by their situation.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of the problems of, you know, young white men wanting to kill dozens of people happens because they're outcast and they get, I don't know, they get isolated, and when people are isolated, they get radicalized. Yeah. And I don't know how to fucking fix that.
There's also, like, I mean, the only way anyone's gonna click on your article about a mass shooting is if you propose to them a reason for the mass shooting. These media outlets don't have a fucking reason.
No one has.
So they just shit stuff out. The right-leaning media outlets will shit stuff out. Left-leaning ones will shit stuff out. And what they shit out then gets pitted against each other.
I was going to say, like,
those ideas that they shit out gets pitted against each other.
And then it gets worse and worse and worse to have Charlottesville, till you have, you know, the Dallas shooting with the BLM, till you have fucking, give me a white supremacist one.
I mean the most recent one.
Oh, yeah. Another one like that. It's just like,
yeah, the El Paso one. It's just...
Oh, right, yeah.
An incurable situation.
We don't live in America, though.
Yeah, but we don't live in America. Yeah.
Why are we talking about them? See, this is why they're so entitled.
Yeah, but...
On a real, though, they, like, America... All right, actually, we'll save this for the country tier list.
Yeah. It's coming up. But also, I feel like we talk about it so much because it's a threat to our own country. Because everything that America does will rub off on the West.
And I disagree. I think because of the fact that we don't have ready access to weaponry, we can't gun down each other. If you watch
the fucking, on Netflix, The Great Hack, the whole Cambridge Analytica stuff, the shit that they allegedly did with Trump is the same stuff they were allegedly doing with Brexit. It's the same tactics of polarisation and targeting of isolated people to make them vote one way.
I'm personally unaware, but I'll
do. So basically, Cambridge Analytica are a company that work with campaign teams to target people through...
They're the ones with Facebook, innit?
Yeah, to target people through social media to get them to vote one way. So Trump will pay Cambridge Analytica a certain amount of money. They will work. Cambridge Analytica will work alongside his campaign team.
Mm.
And with Obama, it was done in a way that was like, oh, put nice little posters on social media and like have like kids like holding up Obama 2008 posters and shit like that. With Trump, what allegedly happened was something like a bit more
sinister.
Yeah, nefarious. He basically would, when people go on Facebook, they'd fill out little quizzes that, you know, there's random little fucking quizzes that you get on social media, like but random personality tests and shit like that.
Your information.
And it would just work out the people that are most impressionable and most easily influenced. And they would send them videos, completely untraceable videos with the whole like Crooked Hillary shit. Like, just like, oh, cuff her up and shit like that. And they were completely untraceable in the sense that it looked like it was coming from other Facebook users, other Twitter users.
That's what the...
But it was just bots.
That's
it was
what the
just
Russians
fucking
did.
Bots. Yeah, and, well, the Russians were in with it.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
And, I don't think it... I don't think with the Russians, like, I don't think it was... I mean, it has been found that there was no collusion. Like, it's not like
yeah,
Trump...
Yeah, but then there's no collusion between Trump and them, but the, a few Cambridge Analytica employers met at the Kremlin.
Really? Ooh. Again,
they argued that they didn't talk about anything like that.
Oh, no, no. Again, but, like, again, I would say for sure that... I mean, not for sure, because you never know.
I mean, yeah, but like, I would take their word for it. These are
very
people
much
that,
doubt
these,
that...
These are whistleblowers that came out to basically out Cambridge Analytica. So I would take their word for it that they didn't talk about anything like that.
No, more so, like, I can grant that Cambridge and Russia would be working together.
Oh, 100%.
They're doing the same thing, but I wouldn't say that by extension.
Really fucked up. So they've done it on political campaigns all over the world, Cambridge Analytica. So one of the ones was in Trinidad and Tobago, where they basically have two political groups, one with one that sort of stems from, like, Afro-Caribbean roots, and one that stems from India roots. So there's two different political parties. So what they did was they set up this campaign where they were hired by the Indians, and they set up this campaign where they basically tried to get young people not to vote. They would have this whole like dance and stuff. They were all dancing and singing like, oh yeah, don't vote, like, we hate both of the political parties. And the reason it was so fucking sinister, because basically Cambridge Analytica knew that when it got to vote day, all of the black kids are just naturally more rebellious. Like, their parents had no control over them, over what they did. So the black kids wouldn't vote.
Yeah.
They would go along with what the song would say. And all of the Indian kids would be singing the song, and they would be going along with it, and they would be like, yeah, let's not vote. But ultimately, on the day of voting, their parents would force them to vote.
Indians, stop being so fucking controlled by your parents. It's really
painful.
So
the Indian kids would go out, and they would vote. And the Indian party won 80% of the young people vote.
Yikes.
And they won the election. It's like so well thought through that it's fucking scary.
So like there are negatives to the new internet world.
Yeah, there's, people. Yeah. The internet is wonderful in so many ways, but it's fucking terrifying in many other ways.
Mm.
How quickly you can spread an idea with no factual basis to it. It's
fake news.
Scary. Yeah.
But it's quite mainstream now as well.
Yeah.
Like, for example, the pushing of the fake news of like Trump was colluding from Russia.
Yeah.
From every single major broadcaster for 3 years, and it all amounted to nothing because there's no evidence to it. It's like the mainstream media is not fucking trustworthy.
Mm.
Do not use them. Like, if you're going to use the internet
just
also cannot be unreliable, but at least with the internet you can get a breadth of opinion.
Yeah.
The mainstream media is just left or
some
right.
Some of the most, like,
do you know what I mean?
Whether I like them or not, Kieran like takes influence from them. Like, people like Jordan Peterson as individuals, like, sure, they can be dangerous, but at the end of the day, they're just saying their opinion. Like, they're just saying what they think.
It's not like
there's
an
no
agenda.
Sinister agenda,
yeah, exactly.
that is underlying. Like, maybe with him, like, all right, book sales, I don't know, like, really tiny things will alter what he says. But there's nothing corporate about
it. It's like talking to normal people and getting,
and
you know, like we're doing now.
You can do that on the internet, but people, like, refuse to do it in a normal way.
Yeah.
Like, when you go in Twitter comments, it's like, guys, this is a place where people could genuinely have interesting conversations, but it's not.
I've heard the reason why the characters are capped are to incite those short soundbite responses, so it just creates anger. And because when people are angry, they're more likely to come back to the site. And when people come back to the site, they get more ads.
Yeah. And This is why podcasts are the way forward, guys.
I could not agree more. Oh, how
pretty much the reason why we started this. Just have long form discussion. People's time is not so valuable that you can't have like an hour, 2 hour, 3 hour conversation with someone, because you will get more out of it than fucking sending some speechy shit to people that you disagree with.
Exactly. Like, imagine just hearing me preach for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
About something. Instead of that, you can have a deep
and like a more genuine conversation.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, an authentic conversation.
Exactly.
This is, I don't know. It's just AIDS. It's just AIDS.
The world is fucked. But on that note, let's move on to a different topic.
Yeah.
What are we saying? Let's move on. We did a sort of like tongue-in-cheek post on Instagram.
And no one fucking replied to it.
Like half-heartedly asking people for questions or whatever. And
you're only saying half-heartedly because no one replied.
I'm saying half-heartedly because the fucking replies were so half-hearted.
Isn't it? Oh my god.
Like, people really did not put any effort into what I said.
Imagine I have 30 people on my private story and we have 20 followers.
People just see it and just skip.
This is how much people don't care.
But we care, so fuck all of you.
Listen.
One asking for a Premier League predictions, a little jab at Kieran because of his fucking useless football knowledge.
I'm actually going to go watch some football today.
Yeah.
I'm
with the lads.
Supporting my team of Manchester City United. So we're playing West Ham, the Wolves. So given our 4-0 defeat of Chelsea the previous week, I think it's quite likely that we'll come at least top four. So that means we'll be in the UEFA.
Agreed. Looking forward to Wayne Rooney's appearance.
So yeah, I don't know who's going to win it though. Who's going to win it, Joe?
I'd say Wolves. West Ham are looking really strong.
Who do you think's going to win the entire thing though?
Oh, yeah, probably the Wolves again.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Nah, okay. I've sort of put my bets on Tottenham for some reason, but it's going to be another Man City, yeah.
Is that an actual bet?
Is that an actual bet?
Have you actually bet?
No, I haven't put any actual money on it. I don't care that much.
But then that's not how that... You just said you
bet. I put my bets.
On Tottenham, but then you then say you think Man City's going to win.
Yeah,
two contradictory statements.
Yeah, I know. It's just like footballing lingo. It's just like you have like a hunch that someone's going to win it, but then City are just too good. So
who you want to win and who you think's going to win?
Who I want to win? Obviously, the fucking team I support. You downy. Oh, all right. Moving on. Why do you hate 21 Savage so much?
He's gay.
Yep. Moving on. name everyone who you indirected in the first episode. No. Moving on. Talk about how England's focus on...
No.
No. Okay. That's pretty much it. Thanks, everyone, for your avid support of the podcast. I know you all care so much. And we will see you next week.
Bye.
God, that was so fun.